Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Newtown Theatre. Please welcome a man who has now seen 4 ghosts. It's Richard Herring! Thank you very much. Oh, hello. Thank you. Welcome to my Newtown Theatre. Thank you very much for coming. Love to see you all. Double the audience of yesterday. If this carries on, the final show will have 90 million people in here. So that is... that's what I'm hoping for. Fingers crossed. Welcome to Richard Herring's Looking Surprisingly Trim podcast. Though you'd be interested to see by the end of the fringe whether that is still the case. Been eating quite a lot of donuts already, I have to say, which don't fall under my prohibition of alcohol and chocolate. though I was hanging out having dinner at the Only Fools and Horses, the Kushti Dining Experience. It's amazing, you know that. It's like a load of people pretending to be the characters from Only Fools and Horses. The brilliant thing about it, they haven't got permission from any of the Only Fools and Horses people who created it. They just do it off their own bat. That's what's really good about it. They don't pay anyone for doing that. And it's so funny to see them doing all of the stuff you've seen in Only Fools and Horses, except worse. And it's... I had such a good time. The guy who plays Boise in that, he calls it Rehelastopus. I don't know if that's the actor playing Boise. The actor playing Boise in The Only Fools and Horses, The Kushti Dining Experience, is actually John Challis, who plays Boise in Only Fools and Horses. He couldn't get any other work, so he's doing it. Very unfair joke. He's a lovely guy. So, I should have told you yesterday, I've seen 4 ghosts just before the show... yesterday, I was just backstage. It's quite creepy back. We're in a kind of Masonic lodge here, if you haven't worked it out, which is why my high-backed armchair has weird insignia on it, which I'm quite enjoying. I just came down to a little staircase, and 4 people wearing medieval costumes walked past me, and I said to them, "Are you ghosts?" And the bloke at the front said, "Yes." So that proves it. Proves that it's definitely true. There's a load of things I've got. I was a bit ill yesterday. I'm feeling a bit better today. Loads of things I've got to say. This is my new notebook for Edinburgh. It's a Rick and Morty one that says, "I am sorry, but your opinion means very little to me." I think that's very important for a chat show to have that. This will be given away at the end of
the series to the person who has seen the most Rattlestoppers in Edinburgh, which I'm guessing will be Liam in the front row. He's here for a second day in a row, but someone else might beat him. Someone else may have done that. I should also say there is a programme there that is free. That's for everyone who comes to see the show. What I do at the end of the show, I make a collection for Scope, which is a fantastic charity that helps people with cerebral palsy. It's trying to get equal rights and access for all disabled people. If you'd like to donate some money to that charity, on the way out there'll be people holding buckets, or I will be signing autographs and selling some merchandise at the back just as you... leaving the venue, and we'll have a bucket there. If you feel like giving some money, that would be terrific. There's also a text number now because we're in the future, and I will be selling emergency question books. I might talk about that a bit later. Sorry to the people at home, that was boring, wasn't it? the thing I forgot to say yesterday, the thing my drive up here, the thing that kind of annoyed me. I was quite ill on the drive up, and so I was slightly hallucinating anyway. And there's signs on all the Scottish roads, on the side of the Scottish roads, which I'm sure many of you would be familiar with, which I really couldn't understand what they meant for ages. It took about the fourth one before I understood the actual meaning of it, saying, picking up your litter puts road workers at risk, the people who work on the road are at risk, and which I, to me, meant don't pick up your litter. Doesn't it? That's what it says. And it was literally the third time I thought, oh, it probably means, I said, you know, you just chuck your litter out, don't stop. I thought, don't stop and pick up your litter, or people who work on the roads will be in danger somehow. So I don't know if there's any worse worded sign than that. It's been around for a long time, apparently. What else have I got for you? No, not much else. It's going to get worse as the fringe continues. I have to say this stand-up bit at the beginning. I've got to do this every day. I like the adverts that are up in the phone boxes saying, just eat bikes. That's an odd. Scotland. People are tough in Scotland, but I did not know. Right, we're going to move swiftly on. I've probably forgotten something important again, but I'll talk about it tomorrow. I'll be back here every day, except Mondays, till the 25th. Now, my first guest this week, and there are two guests this week, and we're allowed to say it. You're much better than last day's audience, I have to say. She's probably best known for her performance as Sharon Starr in Doctors. That's why we're all here. Will you please welcome the amazing Lucy Beaumont, ladies and gentlemen? Lucy Beaumont. Incredible. Welcome. Welcome. Sit down. Make yourself at home on one of those two seats. Don't be intimidated by the extra seat there. That's not... How are you doing? You look like Ronnie Corbett in that chair.
Where did you get them from?
They're just around the back with all the other Masonic paraphernalia. That is, when I first came to Edinburgh, we stayed in, we were like 50, 60 students sleeping on the floor of a Masonic lodge. And we would go and sort of look in all the cupboards and stuff. We found like a big stick with a wooden stick with a wooden snake going up. It was very scary. And there was a TARDIS in the basement. It was amazing.
Really?
Like a magic TARDIS. So yeah, go and have a look around back there. You might never escape. I'm not saying all Masons are serial killers, but I wouldn't let you walk around back there on your own just in case. That is what I'm saying. So welcome, anyway. And sorry to the Masons. Thanks for having us. Do you remember much about being Sharon Starr in Doctors?
No, I've wiped it from my memory.
Because I didn't know you were an actor before you were a comedian.
Yeah, yeah. I looked older in that. That was about 20 years ago than I do now. What they'd done to my hair. It was criminal, actually.
Was she a pop star or something? Sharon Starr, it sounds like.
I honestly can't remember, but it was the same episode that Phoebe Waller-Bridge was in.
Was it?
I know, it was slightly gone off at different times.
Yeah, but both incredibly successful alumni. Yeah,
they didn't make her look like a 80s porn star. She looked real glamorous. And, yeah.
Anyway, we'll move on from that. That's just a funny kind of joke that I do. So you're from Hull. I'm from Pocklington.
No.
Yeah, I was born in Pocklington, so we're, you know, close, but therefore rivals, right? We're bitter rivals.
Are you really? Yeah. I should have known from that jumper.
It's really hot.
I'm worried about you in that jumper. Yeah. Is it mohair?
I think it is mohair. It's on the poster, so I thought I'd treat people, but it's really hot. Much too hot, even for an Edinburgh August. It's too hot to wear. And you were the you did the when Hull was the city of culture. You were quite involved in the
the TV show of that. You did a documentary.
Oh yeah, I did a couple things. Yeah, well, it was like massive for the city. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
And justifiably so. Did you feature the fish trail? That's my favourite thing.
Yeah.
There's a trail of fish. they know what they're like. They know what they're known for in Hull. I've got some facts about Hull. Don't know if you were aware of these. The George Hotel in Hull claims to have the smallest window in England.
It does.
What I like is just it claims to have it. There's no proof. I could claim that.
No, there's a plaque outside. Right. It's the littlest window in the world, yeah.
I mean, what about windows on dolls' houses? Is it smaller than that?
It's not so much small. It's quite long and thin, really.
It sounds quite big.
It's more of a slit than a window.
Well, I'm intrigued. I'm going to go to Hull later in the year, so I will search that out.
Look,
Did you know that boiled sweets and lemsip were both invented in Hull?
Yes. There's not much I don't know.
There's a lot
about
of colds going on. And LCD screens, that doesn't fit in.
Smith and Nephew.
Did you know that on St George's Day in 1642, King Charles was refused entry to Hull?
Yes, I did. Yeah. You can't tell me anything I don't know. No.
You know everything
about it. And Ye Olde White Hart pub, that's the plotting room, that's where they plotted to overthrow the king. And I took a friend who was a historian, and he wanted to see it, because it kick-started the English Civil War.
Yeah.
And he said, "How much is it to go into the plotting room?" She said, "No, it's free." She said, "I'll just move my ironing board."
The Siege of Hull is considered the start of the first action of the English Civil War. I think a lot of people think Hull is still under siege, so I don't know, a lot of people in Hull haven't realised.
He's in some areas.
That's very rude, wasn't it? I won't talk about Hull for much longer, but I've got a couple more things to say. What is the tallest building in Hull? Yeah, I don't know everything, do you? See, I knew I'd get you.
What, building or structure? Because the Humber Bridge is...
I mean, building or structure.
Does the Humber Bridge count,
then? No, that doesn't count, because that's high up.
There's not many tall buildings.
There aren't, that's why it's a hard question. It is
the BBC one, then,
it's the Hull
is
Royal
it?
Infirmary.
Oh, of course, yes.
It's 57 metres tall, 14 floors. Quite a few buildings have more floors in Hull than the Royal Infirmary, but that is still the tallest by...
Oh, is it really?
Good 5 or 6 metres. Though there was a housing estate that was taller, but it's been demolished. Did you know William Wilberforce was born in Hull?
Yes.
But he went to school in Pocklington, did you know that?
No, didn't.
So he travelled to Pocklington to go to school.
Get out.
I mean, we're not just going to talk about Hull all the time. I haven't brought you here just for me to give you facts about Hull. Do you know when they did that that Wikipedia map and they put the name of the person who was the most searched person from each town and that was they'll put their name? I was Pocklington.
Pocklington, yeah. I know, yeah. Yeah.
And William Wilberforce wasn't Pocklington, so can I take that, William Wilberforce?
Gosh.
You may have abolished slavery, but have you written 3 emergency questions books? No, fuck you. Right, let's. He did all right. He was all right, William Wilberforce, wasn't he?
Apparently.
Yeah, he was all
right.
I
mean, I never met him, but could have been him.
Andrew Marvell also from Hull. Anyway,
is
let's
that how
move
you
on.
Pronounce it? Oh, I don't think anyone knows you pronounce it like that. There's a school called after it as well.
So, what's your show this year, Lucy? Let's talk about your show.
My show is called Space Mam. See what I did there?
Yeah.
And it's about aliens, ghosts, feminism, labour, birth. Like, not, you know, like manual labour. Yeah. Mums, boxing. I mean, it's about, like, I've got a lot of subjects in it.
Yeah.
It's mostly about... being a mum and aliens.
Well, those are both of those things I'm very interested in. Have you seen? You mentioned ghosts. We'll get on to UFOs. Have you seen a ghost? I saw 4 ghosts backstage.
When did you see that?
Just yesterday. They were walking through.
Really?
Yes, hello to them.
I feel ghosts. I've never seen them, but I feel them. Yeah.
Yeah.
A dog once got into bed with me. A ghost dog.
Right.
Weird. Yeah, and I've had a ghost cat as well.
Right.
I feel animals more than humans.
Yeah, I didn't really think about all the animals that must have died and come back again. The troubled animals walking the earth.
Yeah, you do.
Still with, I don't know what, dog food to eat or something. What do you think? What do you think's the unfinished business of that dog?
Well,
getting to bed with you.
Yeah, oh, it was big and, oh, yeah, it was horrible. Yeah, and the person who lived in the house before me had bred dogs. Yeah, right. And the cat was a night. I mean, you wouldn't want to get a ghost parrot, would you? Do your head in. But the cat was a nuisance. They kept knocking stuff off, you know, like.
Yeah.
And put some milk out for it.
And was the milk gone in the morning?
The milk was gone after a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's sort of, isn't it? Was there a sort of cheese that had ectoplasm cheese that had replaced it?
Yeah. A bit, yes, yeah. To be expected. Yeah, yeah. But no, I do pick up. The last preview I did. Yeah. Have you ever been in the? Oh my word! So, a Barnard Castle, the Old Well Inn Hotel, room number 10. Just ask to go. It don't stay there. Just ask for to look in it. Yeah. I've never been so scared in all my life. That was. And then they let me stay. I couldn't even. I was so petrified. I couldn't even stay in the room. And looked it up. Where that's built, 300 people died of cholera, and that room then became where they kept the coffins.
Right.
It used to be a funeral parlour. Yeah. It was so scary. And then I said to the lady, I said, "Look, I've looked it up," and she was scared. The woman, you know, the girl at the reception, she then got really freaked out. And then I got locked out, and I couldn't get back into where she was at reception. So I had to go around the back where the window was, and because it was raining, I had my anorak up, and I had to knock on the door, and I freaked.
I'm surprised, Delina, that there was a. Dead bodies in a hotel.
Oh, but no, I do pick up as because what I do now, if I go to a hotel, I say to them, "Has anybody died in this room?" And if they don't know, I say, "I'll let you know."
People have definitely died in this room. I'm telling you that.
Oh yes, loads.
Definitely.
Yeah.
They're very troubled souls. Okay. I mean, you had a very rapid rise to success, really, didn't you? When you sort of took on comedy, you won the new act, the So You Think You're Funny, in 2011. That's very recently. And then it sort of all rocketed from there, isn't it?
Do you think?
Well, do you not think? I mean, the last 8 or 9 years have gone so fast for me that I can't believe that it's 2019 now. But 2011 seems fairly recent to me. It was a happier time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
An innocent time it was.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I've had a few years. I've had a few years off because I've been doing mum stuff. But I really appreciate comedy now. I sort of feel like I was like playing at it a bit because I my second gig was a competition and then it's mostly been competitions, right. You know, just, and I didn't really believe that I could do this as a job,
yeah.
Because it's hard to believe, but so that was around 2011, 2012, still in radio and BBC radio interviews, the first question that says, "Are women as funny as men?" you just get it so much, or you'd go and do a gig in a club and you'd walk on and they'd see you as a woman and that would when everyone would go and get a drink or turn away, just not even let you get your first joke out. So I didn't. But now,
why women probably weren't considered as funny as men, because people weren't listening to what they were saying.
They're
literally turning away. That sort of isn't a fair competition.
No, yeah, yeah. And because you don't look like Michael McIntyre, so you can't be comic. But now, things have changed.
They have.
Massively. You can feel. It's different.
I think this year, I haven't been up for a couple of years, but this year, when I've been booking guests, at the moment it's quite significantly more women than men that I've got as guests, and I haven't been consciously trying to do that, just that people have been interested in it. So it's really good to see when you look back to when I was first coming up, I used to share a flat with Jenny Eclair, in the 90s, and there were other female comedians, but she was the first person to win the Perrier as a solo female stand-up, and there weren't not very many female stand-ups, and now, and not just stand-ups, all kinds of comedians, but now, yeah, it's very encouraging, I think.
There's too many now.
Well, there's too many comedians.
There's too many comedians,
and they're mostly too young.
Yeah, no, they are. But someone once said to me really early on, it takes 10 years to be a comic, and I thought, nah. And I'm on my 8th year now, and I still feel. I need another 2 years.
Yeah,
no, but it's true. It's true. It does. It's a craft.
2 years, and I still need a bit more time.
But I know what they mean now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think in a way it's a problem. I think in a way it was a problem if you were a funny woman, then sometimes TV would jump on you too quickly, yeah. You know, and it actually takes time to to build up what you're doing. So it's good that there's more competition and, you know, more choice, I suppose, as well.
Yeah. Well, I lived in Hull, so I just had a wealth of material. I just I just told things that had happened, you know, just to, there was lots of there was just there was a lot of comedy in Hull.
Yeah.
Before it became trendy.
It's a very strange place, that part of Yorkshire, and I can attest to that. And it's you did a radio show with Maureen Lipman, was it?
Yeah.
And that was fairly almost straight away earlier. So a sitcom about called To Hull and Back.
Yeah.
Has to be done.
Yeah, yeah.
How was that? How was working with Maureen Lipman?
Amazing. She's just a prop, just like she's on the same league as like Maggie Smith, isn't she, and Judi Dench. They're just. There's a reason that they're just the stars, aren't they? Just, and when she tells you off, you know about it. Because I sent her the first draft, and I sent her like a 4-page letter saying like you're my comedy idol, and I've looked up to you. And she just wrote one line saying, "If you make it better, I'll do it."
It's so good, but they're very blunt. I was talking about. I can't remember if this one's gone out now. I'm very confused about these podcasts because we recorded loads that haven't yet gone out. But Julie McKenzie was in a TV thing I did, and we went to a big screening of it on the big screen. It was just a TV show. And she said, "Don't worry, on TV you can't see all of that. It's fine. The reactions don't look as big on TV." So thanks, Julie. That's the last thing she said to me. let's ask you some emergency questions before we. This is too much fun. I've circled a few. I won't start with that, Lucy. You seem such a nice girl. I won't start with that one. What is your most mundane encounter with a celebrity?
You're not sweating, though, are you?
I am sweating. I've really been pouring the sweat.
Like
I've actually sweated all the liquid out of my body.
You're doing so well.
Thank you.
What was your question?
I think maybe this might be the answer. What is... What is your most mundane encounter with a celebrity?
Oh, God. Well, I thought I worked with her, and I went up to say, and it was Vanessa Phelps. And then I went, "Oh, you're Vanessa Phelps." And then it was awful. It was really embarrassing.
She's called Vanessa Phelps as well, so that would have been doubly annoying to her.
Probably Vanessa Phelps.
Vanessa Phelps, why not? All right, the one I came across first, so to speak, was what would your sexual superpower be if you could have a sexual superpower?
Sexual superpower?
Yeah, I don't know what it means. So let's see.
Oh, maybe to be in another room while it's happening. Nice to get the washing up done, wouldn't it, at the same time.
All right, let's see how you go with this one. I have asked this before. Would you rather have the living face of your own twin, who you had mostly absorbed in utero, staring out of your stomach? It would be able to think and talk independently and pass comment on what you were up to and chat with you when you were lonely, or live on the top of a pole in a desert for 30 years like Simon Stylites? It's a difficult choice. You've probably thought about it before. So you've got, you know, sometimes when you're in the womb, you can absorb your twin. Are you aware of that? Sometimes people kind of have growths inside them and they go to hospital and get taken out and it's all hair and gristle and it's like a twin that they absorbed in the womb. What the question is about whether that twin had survived but was staring out of your stomach. It's a bit like Total Recall.
I did have a real lot of teeth when I was younger. Yeah.
Too many teeth?
Yeah, and it was a bit like that because they say you can get teeth, don't they?
Yeah,
like
you absorb the teeth of your twin.
Yeah, my mum had to. I had photos done from school and she thought they were demonic. She had to lay them flat because they were following her around the room. But I have heard that you can have like teeth.
You can have
teeth
in there.
Yeah. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, a little friend to
talk to. Definitely.
I think they'd resent you, wouldn't they, as the twin that had not been absorbed into the other one?
Or maybe the pearl then. Pearl. What was was it?
Living Hope. You know, Simon Stylites was a saint who decided to sit on a stole. Simeon Stylites, sometimes he's called. He sat on top of a pole for 30 years to venerate God for some reason. I would say that's a waste of 30 years myself. If I was God, I'd be really fucked off with Simon Stylites.
Can what they have a waste something of time. Else instead?
Can it be something else other than those two? No, those are the only two choices.
The pearl.
So let's talk about UFOs. So you mentioned UFOs, and one of my questions is, have you ever seen a UFO? And have you ever seen a UFO?
Yeah, of course, about. All the time.
In Hull?
Yeah. Hull is a hotbed of alien activity. It had the first ever sighting in 1806, the first ever recorded sighting. And after that, there's been many sightings. Been in 1994, alien waving at my window.
Right.
Woman took a picture of an alien in her bedroom waving.
And in her bedroom?
It was, yeah.
Okay.
And it was quite, it sort of looked quite happy.
Yeah.
It was in the paper.
That's nice to know.
I had a really long conversation with Brian Cox about it, actually, because I said to him, do you believe in aliens? And he said, no. And I said, you're wrong. And I told him about it was at my mum's once. I mean, someone was growing cannabis at the flat above. But I don't know if that was related. But we just saw this, like, it was like fluid yet solid. Like, it was like iridescent. Like, it's so hard to explain. And it just floated really, really slowly just above the window. And I said to Brian, what could that have been? And he said, a balloon.
It could be that. So there's a theory that, like in the Middle East, around the Bible times, that there was lots of hallucinogenic plants growing amongst the crops, and so that when they harvested the wheat to make bread, that they got mixed up in the bread. And so the reason that people were seeing weird stuff was because they were off their tits.
Really? So, I have to explain it. A lot of that goes on. Pocklington has a lot of that sort of stuff.
Pocklington's renowned for... I left when I was four. Imagine how famous I'd be there if I'd stayed longer than that.
Did you?
I'm still the most famous person from Pocklington. Oh. 4 years older. Should put a statue to me up there. It counts. I'm grateful they are. I went to Pocklington Arts Centre, about 13 people came to see me. A genius is never recognised in his own hometown. Nor someone who's rubbish either. They're never recognised either. I'll briefly talk about your husband, who I believe is a comedian as well. He proposed to you with a butter dish.
No, I didn't, no.
Okay.
But that's that was Radio Humberside. Picked that story up.
They made that story up?
Well, I went on Radio Humberside, and then they misquoted it in the Hull Daily Mail.
Because he
gave me a butter dish for my birthday.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the present, but then it wasn't. We proposed. But they said he proposed with a butter dish.
Why would they lie about that?
It's more northern, isn't it?
Yes. You're doing a show with John, your husband. Is that coming up as sort of reality?
Yeah, we've recorded it. Yeah, that's in the can, as they say.
So what's the story? What's the idea of that show?
I think we've revealed too much.
Have you?
It was like meant to be like, you know, like a documentary sort of thing.
So it's a spoof. Really, or is it real?
Real, mostly, yeah. Maybe too real. You know when you get used to the cameras and then you say things, you get a bit too relaxed. And
that's why they do it. That's why they put them on you all the whole time. I saw a film of you, I can't remember what show it was, a clip of you in one of those escape rooms together with John.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
That was quite revealing, just between the two of you, the things you were saying to each other there.
I know, we really wound each other up,
It's awful being married to people, isn't it? Especially then you have a kid and that really
I'm glad you said that. Yeah. I talk about that in the show, because it is literally one day you are like, would you like a cup of tea, darling? And then the next day you're like, why am I living this lie? When is it going to end?
I mean, two comedians getting married is a very bad idea. That's all I will say.
Oh, he's not funny at home.
No, that's what my wife thinks about me.
Miserable. Absolutely miserable. Yeah. I actually said, look, if it'll cheer you up, have an affair. I honestly don't mind. As long as she agrees with me, I don't mind.
He was very lucky to find you, Lucy. I don't know how he did it. Congratulations to him for that. I don't think he'll find anyone else. No offence, John. I mean, actually, that is quite offensive now I think about it. And
no, he knows.
we're all punching above our weight, us male comedians. And I was surprised to find out you're friends with Roland Gift from The Fine Young Cannibals.
Yeah, she drives me crazy. Yeah.
How did you become friends with Roland Gift from The Fine Young Cannibals?
From Hull.
Yeah, mum's just you all know each other.
Mum's best friend, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, his son, can I do a plug for his son in Edinburgh? His son, and Marsha. Marsha's in Edinburgh as well.
Yeah.
But his son is one of the world's leading acrobats, and he's in a show called Bromance at the Edinburgh Festival, and it's on, it's a spectacular show. Okay. But yeah, Roland is, he's amazing. There's no one like him, I don't think. His voice is still so distinctive, and he's still touring. Yeah, special guy. Yeah,
he looks quite like Stuart Lee, but sort of Stuart Lee's face. No, okay. The young Roland Gift and the young Stuart Lee. Not now. I mean, Roland has actually stayed very very true to his younger self, I think, but Stuart Lee has not. Stuart Lee looks like someone from a terrible Irish band of dead old men now. It looks like one of the dead ones, that's what I'm saying. well, it's very, very nice. I'm very surprised. Have you seen any other shows? Do you go and see shows? Or are you too busy?
Go and see Taiwanese theatre when I'm in Edinburgh. Because okay. I can't compare it to man then, no, you know. Okay. Can't go, oh, that's funny then, man.
It's hard to go and see comedy, I think, anyway. In the early days, it's quite hard to go and see other people's shows, right? Just because you're so into your own show.
Yeah, it is hard, isn't it?
I don't think
yeah.
I'm going to see anything. I'm going to go to kids' shows with my kids.
Same here.
They're up. Is your
Are you taking your kids with you? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Although I might go to some. We're going to see The Amazing Bubble Man.
We are.
Which we saw
might
2 years ago.
See you
ago,
there.
Which I would quite like to go to see on my own because I know my son's just going to be running around and I'm going to have to chase him.
Oh, yeah.
He's a prick. Don't have a second one. I'm giving him a hard time on this, but I'm living with him, you know, in a different city. Look after him. And so just all day I'm looking after the kids and then coming out and doing this. And
God,
it's a terrible...
Poor guy.
Yeah. It's awful. Don't have children. It's just my own... No. It's not good for the world, is it? That's the
no,
thing.
You don't need them. Have a nice life and die. Yeah. It's true, though, isn't it?
But my daughter will like them. I mean, she was good 2 years ago when she was two, but, you know, he's about two now.
So. And do you prefer her?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, 100%. 100%. If you're listening to this in the future, kids, just sorry, that's the way. You prefer the first one. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. Oh, my goodness, we're going to have to move on quite soon. Tell me about your show and where people can see it.
Space Mam is at 4:45 at the Pleasance upstairs, Pleasance Courtyard.
Terrific. And are you going to be touring the show?
Yeah, I hope so, yeah.
There's lots of people at home who will not get up to the Edinburgh Fringe, who hopefully will... come and see some of these comedians.
And I might or might not have. I helped a lad the other day. He was in a right state. He was really hungry and he was waiting for his Universal credit to come in. Been waiting 6 weeks. I went and got him some food and got him some money. And he said, I want to work. And then I walked away and thought, I know. And I said, do you want to be an alien in my show?
Right.
So I've got him an outfit. So we'll see if he turns up or not. Going to pay him for it, you
know. Well, I hope
but I thought he could just
I'd
walk.
Be quite good if you didn't pay him for it.
No, I thought he could just walk on behind me and walk off.
Yeah.
But I might have a couple by the end.
Yeah.
So it's good.
Liam will come on and do it for you. He'll
good
do anything.
Good work experience, isn't it?
Good work experience for, you know, for being an alien.
Yeah, no,
in the future.
Yeah, yeah, or, you know, leafleting and stuff like that, yeah. See how it goes.
Terrific. Well, that's what I can't ask you that one again. I did circle loads of these questions. Oh, here we go. Right, this is the final question I'm going to ask you. If the sun wasn't going to come up tomorrow unless you threw a member of your family into a volcano, which member of your family would you throw into the volcano, or would you not throw anyone in and doom your hemisphere to icy death?
Probably throw the oldest member in then.
Yeah.
Oldest member of the family.
Who's that?
Oh, my granddad.
That's my dad's my oldest member of my family. That would seem cruel to throw your own. He's still fairly... I mean, he's not... He's 83. He's not got the mobility he used to have, but it'd be sad to throw him in there. I'd miss him. I'll do it. I'll throw him in.
Would you?
Yeah.
Can I have your...
You can throw my dad in. I don't think he'd mind. He's a very giving man. If he's going to save the hemisphere.
Yeah.
Or he could just move to Australia.
I'll do that then. I'll throw your granddad in, okay, if that's all right. Man's just had a hip operation, so he needs a few more years out of it.
Okay, that's true. Don't want to waste the hip. Ladies and gentlemen, please go see Lucy Beaumont. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Thank you very much. Oh, what fun. Okay. My second guest this week, actually they're my fourth guest this week, are best known for the work they've done with Kleenex. And so am I. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Scummy Mummies! Welcome, welcome.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Hi, all right, thanks.
Great.
How are you?
You don't seem scummy at all.
Oh, really?
That's because we've been away from our kids for 3 days. So we're not covered in snot.
Exactly, yeah. Right. We've had some sleep, Richard. What's that like?
Didn't anyway. Bring your children with you to the fridge?
No, no, mine are 8 and 10, so they're sort of old enough to be left alone in the house now, obviously. Okay. They're coming up tomorrow just for a couple of days, and then they go home for a long time, so it's very nice.
Wow, you do look happy, I have to say.
Thrilled. So,
Helen, and who's from Australia.
Yes,
that's
right.
And Ellie, who is not from Australia. Yes. And that is how I tell the difference.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's the
I go with fat and thin, but, you know, do your own thing.
Blonde and brunette. There's all sorts of different people.
That's right. She's got glasses. Yeah, that's what we go with.
100 different ways. Your podcast is great. I've been listening to it this week.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, it's more serious than I anticipated.
Oh, well, which one did you listen to?
Well, I've listened, but they're very funny as well. Not only serious. I've listened to Sophie Ellis-Bextor, which is very funny, but also has some serious stuff in it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she and I both had premature babies, so we had some lols about that. That was great. But yeah, no, we mix it up. Sometimes we do have serious episodes, and sometimes we just get shit-faced and play a silly game. So it's good fun.
Exactly, and a bit of a light and shade. And we have comedians, but then we'll have someone who's gone through a bit of a life experience. But we always manage to take the piss out of them, don't we?
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice.
It is fun. How did you two get together, and how did you decide to do this podcast, and what's the ethos of the podcast? And a lot of other questions that now please answer all in one go.
Okay. Do you want to do how we met?
Oh, well, it was a romantic moonlit night, wasn't it?
Lovely.
And there was this comedy club. I say comedy club. It was inside a shipping container under a flyover in Deptford.
Yeah.
So very romantic.
I mean, as beautiful as this room, really. It was lovely. Yeah.
And it was my third ever gig.
Mm-hmm.
And it was you'd taken a break, hadn't you?
Yeah. So I started off doing comedy in Melbourne, in Australia, and I did it for a few years. And then I moved to the UK and had babies. And that made me not very funny. And then I think it was with my second son, I was up breastfeeding in the night going, oh, yes, I used to have a career and used to be my own person. So I decided to go back into comedy. And it was that first gig back, I met Ellie Gibson.
Yeah, so there we were. So, yeah, it was a strange gig. There were 12 people in the audience. 9 of them were your friends.
Yes, they were.
And 2 of them were non-English speakers. So we've had worse audiences since, but it was a funny old night, yeah.
Yeah, and you decided to do the podcast first or just...
We just sort of decided to hang out first, didn't we? And then, and then we found out weeks after we met, weirdly, that our sons were born 11 days apart with the same midwife.
Okay.
Which seemed odd. And we thought, that's how most comedy acts get together, isn't it?
That's,
that kind of thing.
They find a woman who's both seen their genitals, and they say, let's go. Yeah.
But it was really, the podcast really was sort of an excuse to just, like, get together and drink wine. Because we could say to our husbands, oh, well, we're doing a podcast.
Yeah.
Very serious, the internet podcast. We're definitely not just sitting in my room, in my front room, drinking Sauvignon Blanc and just recording it and putting it on the internet. And that's not what this is, guys. So, yeah.
And as you've done, what, a couple of hundred episodes?
Yeah. Over 150 now, so we put them out every second Tuesday. And we've been quite religious about doing it every fortnight. And Ellie had a premature baby, and we still put it out, didn't we? We kept recording, and
we put it out early, even.
Yeah, that's right, exactly right. So keen. And there's Ellie, you know, used to edit our podcast, and she's like breastfeeding this tiny baby and doing it. So we haven't skipped a beat, really.
No.
Yeah, because I heard Sophie Ellis-Bextor's had her baby with her as well, a seven-week-old baby. Sophie Ellis-Bextor, who I am slightly obsessed with, I have to say, and Janet Ellis, I'm also obsessed with.
That's not weird.
Sophie Ellis-Bextor has had five children and yet failed to have a girl human, which I was sort of hoping to have the next generation of, because I fancied her mum, I fancy her, and then, you know, after a period of time...
Obviously.
Do you
see the
Ellis Bextor family sort of like Doctor Who?
Yeah,
like
just regenerating.
Iteration.
It's sort of the English Rose, fantastic, beautiful, terrific,
and
you know,
she's
talented
here tonight,
women. They know about my obsession, it's okay. I'm sort of friends with Janet Ellis, which is weird.
Sort of friends.
As in,
you think you're her friend, but she's not so sure.
She wisely keeps a distance. I've been to her house.
We've been to
her house. She doesn't know. Put on her underwear.
Yeah. I can tell you, Sophie Ellis-Bextor does not have a framed photo of you over her mantelpiece in your house, which is disappointing.
It's sort of weird, isn't it, with comedians and babies, right? And there's a stereotype of that, which I think is more cliched than what they think the cliche is, which they say, you know, the minute someone has a baby, they start doing routines about their kids and how great their kids are, and then they don't become funny anymore. But that's not... I don't think that's really... The actual observation of that is incorrect, I think. Don't you? Because I think...
Yeah,
Because your stuff's about how... And my stuff about my kids is about how awful our lives are as a result.
Yeah, exactly. It's about our experiences. And I think, you know, when we started off doing the podcast 6 years ago, we were very much in the baby stage. And you sort of... That's all you have. But now they're a bit older. Or our comedy's more based on just our experiences as women... More about how shit our husbands are, really, and how our relationships are in the toilet. So it kind of moves away from that. But it is like everybody has been in a family. And it's really interesting. Like, we call ourselves the Scummy Mummies, and we do stuff about parenting, but we move away from it. But you see so many comedians talk about their families, but they haven't actually, you know, like Michael McIntyre is not called a little bit posh daddy, but he does so much stuff about parenting, but he hasn't actually labelled himself as that. It's all of us looking like dicks, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and we have a lot of non-parents who listen to the podcast and who come to the shows, and like we have one woman write in saying, you know, I don't have kids, but I love your podcast because it reminds me to take my pill.
So,
once every 2 weeks, again. that's not going to work, though, is it? That's she's going to get in trouble. It's interesting to... I mean, I guess that especially it's ideal for a podcast because parents are all at home. You obviously do live shows as well, but maybe not able to get out. And it's interesting with the advertising on your podcast. You know, obviously you get advertisers who know, right, let everyone with kids is going to listen to this, and so here's some great kid-based adverts. So that is a good mind to have... I think is what I was going to say, but
we'll do anything for money.
Podcasting is a great medium for it, isn't it, for this?
It is, and the feedback we get again from people writing to us is that they like the podcast. Often sometimes it's people with new babies who are up feeding all night and they feel less alone and stuff like that, which is nice. But the live show, I would say, is quite a different thing. So the live show is not a live podcast like this. You don't just sit down and talk. I mean, you know, that's very low effort, isn't it?
It is.
Working. So we wear gold cat suits and also vagina cat suits.
We call our twat suits ovs. It's like sketches and songs and stand-up and a big sort of variety show.
And again, lots of non-parents come, but lots of parents come, and for the parents, it's often like, because you know, non-parents in the room, you probably go out 6, 7, 8 nights a week, right? But for parents, often they come to our show, they haven't been out for months and months, so it's the equivalent of a mini break in Barcelona. It's just, they're just very excited to be in a place where they can do a shit on their own. So there's a real atmosphere, and it's nice. Yeah, yeah. It's good.
You know, that's one of the things that made me appreciate people coming to see your show. You know, when you become a parent, you suddenly go, God, if someone's chosen to come and see my show, my tour show was there one night out a month, I better start putting some effort into making it quite good. I've just been bothered for years.
Yeah. And yet you're still just sitting here.
Yeah, I'm not talking about this. This is just, yeah, hoping the guests will be funny, but, you know, doesn't always work out. And you, Ellie, are the daughter. You once lived in the testicles.
Oh, that's a lovely image, that is.
Of Jossie from Jossie's Giants. Who remembers Jossie's Giants?
Some people. It's a weird thing. So if you don't know, Jossie's Giants was a kids' TV show. It was on the BBC in like the 80s for like 2 years or something. Are you wearing that jumper because of Jossie's Giants?
I'm not.
All right. So I'm
not obsessed with your dad, Jim Barclay.
He's Sophie Ellis Bextor.
I'll give it a go.
So it's a weird. So it was on quite briefly, but it had this big following. So there's like a certain strata of society that is familiar with my dad and still stops him in the street and stuff. But
and he's one of the pioneers of alternative comedy as well.
Yes, and he is here tonight, actually.
Yeah, somewhere.
No,
there he is.
No, he's
just in the front row.
He's all right, Jim.
Hey.
Good.
Yes, fine. Yes, good.
Hello.
Thank you. So he was in alternative cabaret, and then he was in Jossie's Giants, and these days he is the Scummy Mummy's roadie.
Wow.
Which obviously is his biggest claim to fame.
Yeah.
And sort of annoyingly, he's become a cult figure. I mean, he's always been a massive cult, but because we have quite a big Instagram following, and so we started doing these little Insta stories, because you know it's like 15-second little. Yeah. So I would just film Dan sort of just being himself, basically a mad old buffer.
Yeah, carrying our props. Yeah,
yeah, and then he started talking to the Instagram followers, or as he calls them, his readers. Hello readers, he says, and now that's become a hashtag, hello readers, and now he has these people, and when we go to our shows we do like a meet and greet afterwards, and if he's not there people complain, people get quite irate.
Where's Ellie's dad?
Yeah, and they take selfies with him. Oh, he loves it. Don't encourage it. Stay on the way out. It's becoming unbearable. He's a monster. We've created a monster.
He's a great man. I worked with Jim on a film in Western Superman. Yeah. what a wonderful time it was. cool, I'm going to ask you some merch questions because people will be annoyed. I'll ask you some, like, have I got a new one?
Exciting.
Did you ever buy a biscuit or chocolate bar that had an ingredient missing? Was it better or worse? People have been getting Kit Kats without the wafers in.
I've seen that. People are irate. I think Reverend Kate Botley did a tweet about that.
Did she? And Jess Phillips, the MP, also her husband got one recently.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that, haven't you? Because I had it. It was the best day of my life. It was a trio without the biscuit in it. It was the best.
Oh, my God.
And I just wondered if you'd experienced something like that.
I once bought some cheesy Watsits, but instead of it just being a Watsit, it was just the flavouring, and it was like this big. Has anyone else had this? Oh my god! And we'd been smoking a bit of stuff, and so I held it in my hand, and we were just all. It was like a cheese brain that had come in the packet, and we took it in turns to have a little nibble
on this. Like horses round a salt lick.
Yeah. Oh, it was amazing. that anomaly thing. It's like when you used to get a massive cornflake in your cornflake box, and you were like, oh my god, this is the best day of my life. But I have had the Kit Kat thing is weird. It's great.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've ever, you know, I don't really like chocolate, so I don't know if that maybe I should start eating chocolate just so this kind of magical thing can happen to me.
Yeah, if you don't like chocolate, it's not good, because it's mainly the thing being replaced by chocolate. That is usually what happens. Yeah. When it goes wrong.
I do substitute things a lot in my own cooking, because sometimes you want to cook something fancy, like yogurt mottolenghi, something like that, and you haven't got any ricotta or pomegranate molasses.
Yeah.
You can just use Dairy and Ribena.
That's
right. So there's a tip for you there. You're welcome.
Delicious.
Yeah. Okay, this is a similar theme to the last question. I once emptied a faulty 1p fruit machine that you could just pull the lever, you didn't have to put any money, and I took all of the money out of it, making over 100 pence, which I walked out of the arcade with my shorts bulging. I was 28 years old at the time. I did that joke yesterday and I got it in the wrong order, so I just got to do it again. What faulty machine gave you an unnecessary cash or free item windfall?
At uni, there was a night when the, you know, the, what's it called? The machine that gives you chips and soft drinks.
Vending machine.
Yes, a vending machine was just giving out free stuff. And we were, it was like the best night of our lives. We just were like, Coke, 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 Coke.
What kind of vending machines do you have in Australia?
I know, right? Yeah. It was amazing. And that was yeah, the best. And they obviously the college caught on to it pretty quickly because it was completely empty. But yeah, that was amazing. Yeah.
Any of you had ever experienced this?
Or not a vending machine, but when I was also at university, there was a weekend where, because we had like this, I'm so old, right? I'm so old that I didn't have to pay to go to university. That's how long ago it was. And we had like one phone per corridor in our hall of residence. No one had mobiles. And the phone was quite expensive. But one weekend, something broke in the phone system, which meant you could ring anyone for free all the time. So obviously all the foreign students were calling Brazil for 12 hours at a time. And then us English students were like, we started phoning phone sex lines. And in those days, you had the ones, well, I don't know if you ever had it, where you leave voicemails. Like, you leave a sexy voicemail, and then someone else leaves a sexy voicemail back. So we're all sending each other erotic voicemails, even though we were two doors apart on the same corridor. It was a good weekend. Strong.
Yeah, it's good. It's the happiest days of our life when these things happen.
Yeah, yeah. It's worth staying alive for, I think.
It is, in the hope of getting a trio. with no biscuit. It's much better without the biscuit. That's what I would tell the trio manufacturers if they were still making it, which they aren't. they made a mistake. Right, Helen, you are also doing another podcast, I found out today.
Yes, I am. I do a podcast called Fat Lot of Good, which is a funny podcast about bodies, and I interview various comedians and people about how they feel about their bodies, which is usually pretty shit, and then sometimes a little bit good. But I've had one of my favourite ones is with the comedian Arabella Weir.
Oh, yes.
That's a really hard word to say, Arabella Weir, and she talks a lot about being an actress in sort of like the 80s and 90s, and yeah, just people openly saying, no, you're too fat for that, go away, go and lose some weight and things like that. And so, and also she tells this fantastic story about a friend who was a friend of hers, and then she lost the weight and then he hit on her and he said, oh, well, you're attractive now, and she told him to fuck off. So that's great. So yeah, that's, yeah, I really enjoy doing that. It's a nice little side hustle.
How do you feel about your podcast partner doing another podcast? Are you intimidated and jealous?
Well, I see it more as, you know, like Girls Aloud.
Yeah.
Like, Cheryl wasn't the first one to go, was she? Nicola, I think, had a go first, and then, of course, Cheryl became Cheryl, so I look at it like that, Richard.
Okay. Yeah. am I like the Jerry in the Spice Girls? I'll come creeping back.
No, it's more like, you know how, like, as long as you've got one sort of pivot, the other sugar babes are replaceable. It's more like... There was about 40 of them in the end.
Yeah, that's
in
right.
And
mummies are 10 a penny, aren't they? There are a lot of mummies around.
I'm a cross between Mutya and Cheryl, that's what I'm saying.
So when's your show on?
It's on at 7:50 at night in the Blue Room down in George Square. They call it a Blue Room. It's weird. It's like a big blue shoebox they've sort of built onto the edge of St George's Square. But it's got air conditioning.
It is so lush. Yeah, exactly. We wear our gold cat suits. And tickets are selling fast. We've sold out about four or five nights already, so get your tickets now.
What sort of things are you doing? Can you do musical numbers?
Yes. We do some musical numbers. We do some stand-up and some sketches. But the best bit, I have to say, is at the end of the show, we give everyone in the audience a card and a pen, and if they want to, they can write down their scummy mummy confession. So this can be your story of some sort of parenting fail you've done or something that happened to you from your own parents or whatever, and then we read out the best ones and we give away a prize. Ooh. So... yeah, we've had some amazing ones already.
Yeah, some very good ones. One of my favourite recently was a woman lost her son's prosthetic leg. Can't make this stuff up. So we've literally got that. So we've been doing the show for nearly 6 years. We've got thousands of these cards of all these funny stories of parenting failure. Yeah. It's amazing.
And you've done a book as well. Is there the book?
The book's got some of them in there. Yeah. And then it's just, you know... Moaning, it's a lot of moaning. About
filth
parenting.
And moaning, yeah.
But yeah, a lot of confessions. My favourite confession is we had a mum and they were potty training and the toddler did a poo upstairs on the carpet and she couldn't cope. It was one of those days and she just closed the door and she asked the husband to deal with it and he said, right, no problem. So he got a Stanley knife and he went up and he just cut round the poo like a cat burglar trying to steal a diamond. He just lifted it out. And popped it in the bin. And she said, yeah, that was 8 years ago and the hole in the carpet is still there.
So I quite like that about the destruction wrought by kids, though. When they do something terrible like that, I kind of like that it'll be there forever.
Yeah.
My daughter moved into a changed bedrooms and moved into a new bedroom and was really excited about it because she had a proper grown-up bed. And then she just wrote a name and drew a picture of herself on the wall, this big, big page. And it basically says, her name's Phoebe, and it says, Poo Poo, basically, is her name. And you kind of think, I just want that to stay there forever. Like, when she's 25 years old, that is going to be there under some glass to remind her.
And she's like, I don't know why you're annoyed, Daddy. You've got a picture of Sophie Ellis-Bextor on your bedroom wall. That's the point. And the ceiling there.
Yeah. Oh, it is hard being a parent, though.
I mean,
Have you got advice on how to get through it?
We know nothing.
No, biscuits and bribery, iPads and Haribo, that's about it. I think it's funny because you think that you're going to be a type of person. I remember before having a baby going, yes, it's all going to be organic, it's all going to be lovely. And then it's just a disaster every single day. And it doesn't change. Like, there's always a new disaster. They get older. And yeah, and I've got a daughter about to become a teenager and I'm getting into all the kind of door slamming and, oh my God, it's so embarrassing. I was like, as I stand in my gold cat suit, what are you talking about?
Singing a song about your own vagina.
Yeah, exactly right. She must never listen to any of my podcasts because there's times where I've described, you know, having sex with her dad. So I bet she can't wait for her friends at high school to listen to that.
And times when you've described having sex with other people.
Oh, yes, exactly right. But anyway. But yes, yeah, so it is hard. But I think what's really great, and I know social media gets a big, you know, poo-poo, but there's a really great network now. You can kind of just share the shit times together, which is great, and have a moan.
Yeah, which is, I guess, the at least the start of the ethos of the podcast, isn't it? It's that kind of honesty, because, Pete, it is, I suppose, that idea of, oh, being a parent's wonderful and you'll have children, and, you know, and there's lots of bits that are like that, but, you know, they're very rare.
Yeah, it's still wrapped in shit.
Yeah.
We started the podcast 6 years ago, and back then, you know, you hadn't invented podcasts yet.
That's right.
So there weren't that many about, and the parenting ones, because my background is in video games and tech, so I sort of knew about podcasts, and I was looking for a parenting podcast, but they were mostly American, and they were all about what car seat to buy and the best baby wipe, and I was like, where's my people? Where's my people talking about, you know, having shit on their hands at least four times a day? So hopefully things have changed now. I think people are more honest and more willing to share and have a laugh at themselves and judge each other, which is basically what we built Career.
Well, it's a terrific podcast. Do seek it out, Scummy Mummies. It's on all the usual channels.
Yeah.
Well worth this to do. I'll ask a couple of emergency questions and then we'll, we'll slide down into the rest of the Edinburgh Fringe.
Yeah.
Let's just relax down as we head down. Would you rather date a man? This is hasn't been asked for a long time. People are going to be excited. Who is a 6-foot-tall penis, or a man who, instead of having a penis, has a tiny man down there instead?
Can we choose who the tiny man is? Can it be someone cool like Richard Osman or something?
The big man could be Richard Osman, I think. To be honest, you can choose the man. I don't think you can choose the penis. You can choose the man.
So wait, so does the six? So he looks like he's.
Yeah, he's basically a 6-foot penis.
How does he eat? How does he go to the toilet?
He's a penis. He just wheezes out the top of his head.
One hole for everything, Ellie.
He eats through the top of his head. Like a male.
Oh. Like a giant worm.
Does he have the balls? Are they how he's
I don't think the balls are there. I think it's just he's just sort of like a slug based bottom to him that he sort of slithers around on. I think you'd make an effort and put like false arms on in a suit to make him look
that's
like more like
nice
a man.
Little bow tie.
Because then if you have that's more difficult. If you I'm trying to think how you'd manoeuvre that in and out of an Uber. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to transport him places. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, the fact that there'd be two men on a man. That's a lot of men in one thing.
A lot of people are into that.
Yeah, true. I'd just go for the giant cock. Why not? Give it a go.
Yeah. No, I'm gonna go with the two men. I'm gonna get them to form their own comedy double act, and then we can be a sketch group.
That would work. And have you ever seen a ghost, either of you or both of you? Together?
No, because they're not real.
That's true,
yeah.
I've watched the film. I mean, Ghost, that's a lovely film. Richard's. Yeah.
Do you know, have you seen Rent-A-Ghost?
No. What's Rent-A-Ghost, everyone?
I just sorted out our Saturday night.
Oh, excellent. That'll be a lovely night in.
The first series is worth watching, but the rest, it slides down. Once Mr. Davenport is dead, I think. Didn't he die? Didn't he, the actor? I mean, they're all. It's a sitcom beset with tragedy. They all died quite young, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, Jossie's Giants to rent a ghost. I feel like this is a podcast.
Jossie's Giants, you know, Jossie is still here. Against all the odds. Tim Claybold, dead for years.
He's actually a ghost. Yeah. See right.
There was a lot of rivalry between Jossie's Giants and Rent a Ghost.
Not really.
No.
No.
Did you ever get in a punch up with Timothy Claypole? No.
Wasn't there a bit of a thing with Gruey? Didn't you have a bit of a Barney with Gruey, or have I misremembered that? He's pretending he doesn't even know who Gruey is. Okay. That's how deep the wound goes. Yeah.
All right, we'll do another. Let's go to the back of the book for the emergency questions. This emergency questions book will be available for sale in the foyer after the show, as it's coming to the end of its period of existence, and there's a new one coming out. It's on an offer. People here, and there's also the other emergency questions book, if you want to go old school, and some Rahelastapa. Weak audience stickers. You're there. You're there. Get stickers free by both books. I won't ask you that. All right, I'll ask you another in utero based question. Would you rather be the face of a twin mostly absorbed in utero, staring out the stomach of your otherwise regular twin, you'd be able to think independently and talk and pass comments on what they're up to and chat with them when they're lonely, or be the prisoner of a randy Bigfoot who so far has treated you kindly but has a look in its eye?
I mean, that last one sounds a bit like my marriage, to be honest. So I'm kind of used
Randy
to that.
Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Sounds like a bit like BFG gone wrong, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh.
What are you going to go for?
I think the Bigfoot, thank you very much.
Well, again, even the first one, like having this sort of appendage that sort of, you know, talks you at you all the time.
You are the appendage.
You're the appendage.
In this version, yeah.
Right. Well, again, it's not unlike being in a double act, to be honest.
Or again, a marriage.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like we are just going to wake up one day and be attached. Like it's weird.
I'm sure we could arrange that. There's a human centipede question we could get onto.
Oh, very nice.
Haven't asked it for a little while. So have you seen any other shows at the Edinburgh Fringe?
Yes.
Yeah, we've seen a few actually. Because we didn't start to the first. So we saw Grace Campbell's show, Why I'm Not Getting Into Politics. She was fantastic. Grace Campbell is the daughter of Alistair Campbell.
Oh, yes.
And that's fantastic. And I saw Sophie Hagen's show. The Bum Swing, which was fantastic.
I saw Alistair Beckett King's show, which is on at 6 o'clock in the Pleasance, which is really brilliant. And Alistair and I used to gig together in the olden days, by which I mean like 5 years ago. but he's really funny and clever and great. And yesterday we saw Bryony Kimming's show,
I'm a Phoenix Bitch, which is mind-blowingly amazing. And that's all about her journey as a mother, and it's a spectacular sort of theatrical thing, isn't it? I cried. I did a lot of crying, which was a great thing to do just before you go on stage. Like,
you've done very well. You've seen a lot. You've seen more than I see in most fringes.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the first.
This is our first one. We're really keen. Like, okay. It does feel like we're like the dorky mature age students going back to uni. Yeah. It's like this is our first one, and we're both 40, and like hanging out with like the 20-year-olds going, "Hi guys, hey, we're doing fringe," you know, holding our beers and looking like dorks. So, you know, nice.
Where are the cool kids hanging out in the bar? Which bars are the cool kids hanging out in?
We're not 41.
We get tired and then go get a reasonably priced burger and go home.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to wrap it up. So you're 6th. What was your details again? Let's give us that and then we'll...
7:50.
Oh, that's so wrong.
Blue Room.
Wow, that's wrong.
Assembly Square Gardens.
Yeah. It's terrific. And do listen to the podcast as well. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Scummy
Mummy.
Thank you. Thank
you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming, everyone. Do give some money to Scope on your way out if you feel like do so, and I'll just be out in the foyer straight after the show. Bye-bye. You have been listening to Rahelastapa at the Edinburgh Fringe with me, Richard Herring. Thank you to Pest for providing the music. Thank you to everyone at the Newtown Theatre and The Stand, and everyone at GoFasterStripe.com. The producer is James Hingley. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. Go to Rahelastapa.co.uk to find out more. RichardHerring.com/gigs to find out who my guests are for the rest of the run.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.